That's the basic idea. These are some basic ideas. Right? That's question. Let's now just for a few minutes, let's discuss something about the parasha. I want to talk about a little bit about tzaras. Okay, this is just a general interesting. This topic touches upon many different sugyos, and that is it possible today in the modern world, 21st century, for there to be tzaras? Let's say a person has a bright spot, a white spot on his skin. Bright white spot, and there are two hairs in the bright spot that used to be black and turned white. It could happen. I'm sure you go to a dermatologist. If you bring it over here, the top dermatologist in the country, I have no doubt in my mind they will tell you that people have come to them, they have white spots on their skin. Suddenly they get white spots and there are hairs, and you take out chumash and they'll tell you. You're not going to say, there's no question about it. Bring the dermatologist.
Look around.
What? Okay, but there's no question. So, question: Bizman hazeh, is there such a thing as tzaras bizman hazeh? So you'll say lemay nafkemina. You'll say that a person that tzaras has to leave, go into bidud, okay, quarantine. That all these ugly words that we have today, corona, all really are rooted in the Bible. About so the answer is definitely not. The answer is definitely not, because you only have to go into bidud if you live in a walled city. In a walled city, today, are there any walled cities today? What are the nafkaminas? The nafkamina is a person as tzaras has to follow all the laws of tzaras, which means he has to leave his environment and go michutz lamachaneh, into a place of isolation, all alone, quarantine, outside of the machaneh. But you only have to leave the machaneh if you live in a walled city. Today, does anyone live in a wall? Are there any walled cities today that we live in today? No, there are not. You'll tell me, what about Yerushalayim? Not necessarily. Yerushalayim is today Yerushalayim considered to be a walled city? Not so simple. The walls today, what?
No
kayak. Oh, so Mayor's giving another shot, but let's do one thing at a time. Are there walled cities today? Well, besides Yerushalayim L'chorin Nat, there are no walled cities, so you wouldn't have to go into quarantine. You don't have to go because there's nowhere to, because you only have to go to quarantine if you live in a walled city. That's what the Torah says. There's no walled cities today. Yerushalayim, does Yerushalayim have the status of a walled city that you have to leave? You'll talk about Megillas Esther, a walled city from the time of Yeshua ben Nun. Well, that's not a good raya at all, because Yerushalayim is, guess what, it's not called a walled city from the time of Yeshua ben Nun. It's only for the kavod of Yerushalayim. They said, you lay in the Megillah, it should not be worse than Shushan Habira. But Yerushalayim was not walled from the time of Yeshua ben Nun, so it's not relevant altogether. And does Yerushalayim have walls today? I don't know. There are walls. Do the walls go all the way around? They do. Are those walls called walls that have sanctity? Not necessarily, because those have been rebuilt. Those are not the original. Those are not the walls from the Bayis Rishon, for sure. Are they from the Bayis Sheni? For sure not. And they've been rebuilt later on. They've been expanded. So just because someone builds a wall, does that make it into a walled city? I don't know. You can debate this the whole day. I don't know. Not some. I may add another reason why we don't have tzaras today. And that's because Kohanim Miyuchasim. Now that is an explosive topic. To say that in order to declare a person a Mitzara, you need a Kohen who is a Miyuchas, who has, can testify, we have knowledge that his Yichus goes all the way back to the real Kohanim, because only person only becomes Tomei when the Kohen looks at the Nega and says, Tomei. And the nafkamina, we know when it comes to the goyim, if a person has a bias and there's a definite nega, so the rule is clean out the house before the Torah says, before the Kohen comes to inspect, get everything out, so that when he comes into the house, he should not declare the bias to be tummy, let everything become tummy, get everything outside. So you need the Kohen to make the statement that the nega is tummy. Is there such a thing today as Kohanim Miyuchasim? Why not? We rely upon Kohanim to recite Birchas Kohanim, and they make a bracha. Asher kiddushon b'mitzvos b'sivanu levarech es amo yisrael ba'ahava. They make the bracha b'shem u'malchus. No one would dare say that the bracha the Kohen makes is a bracha levatala. To say Hashem's name levatala is an isur d'oraisa, a very severe isur d'oraisa, loisisa shem shav, the aseres adibros. It's a very, very severe avera to say Hashem's name in vain. Did you ever see Kohanim go to Duchen and not make a bracha? So what's the reason? Gidoy l'chazaka. Gidoy l'chazaka. If there's a presumption that a person is a Kohen, if you get Kohen, your father got Kohen, and your grandfather got Kohen, your great-grandfather got Kohen, so you could assume that you're Kohanim and you're Chasim. What's the problem? And the person goes to a Kohen and gives them Pidyon HaBen for his son, you make a bracha, Asher kiddushonu b'mitzvos v'tzivonu al pidyon haben, and you give him the 5 coins, you made a bracha of Shem Malchus, you gave it to the coin on your block, you don't have to give it to a coin miyuchas, give it to any coin you want. You give him the 5 coins, he keeps it. It's gezel. He's not a coin, you made a bracha levatola. The child was never redeemed. Excuse me, gidoyla chazaka. If a person's a coin, he's a coin. So therefore, this is a very weak excuse, extremely weak excuse to say, our mayor's excuse that we don't have Karam Yuchasim. They say this. People say this. They say that's why we don't bring Karbanos Bizman Hazeh. Many Paiskim say it's a cop-out. It's a very weak, holds very little ground to say
the
such a thing.
He doesn't have to say it's Tameh.
He has a mitzvah to say it's Tameh. If you're a dermatologist who happens to be a Kohen, how was he allowed to become a doctor, a dermatologist? Don't ask me, but he became a doctor, Mr. Kohen, and a guy comes to him and he says to him, you have tzaras. So the halach of Kohen Yuchasim is a very, this tugya of why we don't have tzaras with Zman Hazeh, it touches upon many, it's a very good topic because it touches upon many, opens up a big topic of conversation. We just discussed now the sugya of Bote walled cities, because Bode the Yeshev, Michus Lamachne Meshavai. You gotta leave the walled city. Excuse me, we have no walled cities today. Okay, number two, Kohanim Yuchasim. Do you need a coin? Everyone's a coin. Your coin is a coin. Big finish. Zehu. What's this all about? I told you there was no resolution to this. They came to the OU. Not many years ago. I remember, they have a whole write up on it. It's funny. Nothing was resolved. The whole thing was just shrugged off. I don't know what they did with this whole thing. A guy came. He made a lot of trouble. And he said that there's a mitzvah of giving koyam the zeroya v'halechayayim. Every animal that you slaughter, you're supposed to give a kohen the tongue. That's called the lechayayim. The keva is the stomach, and the zeroya is the right arm, or the right. Right arm. Every matnas kuhuna. Every single animal, you are required by halacha to give the kohen the tongue, the right arm of the animal, and the cave of the stomach. Now, I don't know today what they do. No, it's not. It's they explain that it means the cheek with the tongue. The main part of the cheek is the tongue. A tongue today in Gladmark can cost easily $50, maybe even more, maybe even by now, who knows how much more, maybe $100. You go buy a tongue, a full tongue, for Yom Tif, you go buy a full tongue and you put a tongue, at least $50. Ask your wives how much this costs, at least $50, even more maybe, $100. That's called the lechayayim. And the zroya, I don't know, must cost a fortune also. The keva, I don't know, maybe it's worthless. Maybe they sell it for dog food. I don't know what they do with the keva. Probably the FDA doesn't allow the keva to be eaten. I can't imagine. The old ancient times. I don't know what they do today. So this fellow came to the OU. They brought down all of the rabbanim in the OU. All of the rams, the RMs, the rabbinical coordinators. And he gave them a whole speech that everything is shaloi kedin. You have to give the zroya to the kohanim.
We spoke about that.
This is old news. This is nothing new. This goes back in Yerushalayim. They have a couple of everything is very schwach. You know, it's hard to hear me. I have to put the microphone by you. No, it's good. Sit. Well, no. It's fine. But it's hard to hear in the back.
Yeah.
So we're gonna get the microphone back working. Okay, we'll do the microphone. So tomorrow we'll have to get it working on it. Okay, but But so there, this old news, a whole discussion about Yerushalayim. They were Kohanim that represented all of the Kohanim, and the Bezdin gave them a gift, and they were Moichel. They gave them a few hundred dollars, a gift, and they wrote a shtar. The Moichel, the Zeroya v'Halichayayim. One of the excuses why they have not done this for years is they're no Kohanim. Who can say today they're a Kohen Miyuchas? So part of the Kuntres, they ripped to shreds. The Kuntres that was published describing the problem today, why in America, why in even Eretz Yisrael, no one, you never heard a Shoichet, you never heard all the slaughterhouses give the Kohanim anything, is their claim, there's no Kohen Miyuchas. You prove to me that you're a Kohen, I'll give you. So a major chunk of the Kuntres that was published after this whole event was that this argument is so weak. It's so weak. It's totally not a valid argument. Because maybe you're right. Maybe you are correct. We don't have today Kohanim Miyuchasim. But the bottom line is, if a person gets up on Yom Tov and duchens and makes a bracha, and no one says boo, he makes a bracha, asher kiddushonu b'mitzvos ha'mitzvonu levarech es amo yishol bi'ahava, and no one complains, that's good enough for him today to do the avod in the Beis HaMikdash. It's good enough for him to get his zroi v'halachayim v'hakeva, and it's good enough for anything that you need to call in for pinyan aben. It's called gedoyla chazaka. A presumption is powerful. Unless proven otherwise, he's good to go. He deserves his Zohar V'Chaim. So why not? I don't know why not. They didn't really come out with a resolution. I think the biggest thing was, it's just, if you would give today in the modern world the Zohar V'Halichayim V'Hakeva, there would be no meat on the market. They would all go out of business. All of the Sheikhtim would be out of business before they start, and there would not be any meat available on the market for anyone to eat. And therefore, we twist their arms to be Moichel. We demand of the Kohen, this is a hold-up situation. We hold them up and we say, if you don't forgive the Jewish people by being moichel them for the gift, then we're not going to let you duchen. We're not going to let you duchen. We hold them up. We force them. We force them to be moichel their rights, because Amcho Yisrael Tzrichim Parnosa. How do you reconcile that with spending hundreds of millions of dollars on Pesach vacations in Orlando and in who knows where else, and in Yehupitz, who knows where else? I don't know. But this argument has won the day that they need the money, that people,
they
most people...
came out with a statistic, 600,000 pounds of Pesach food goes in the garbage.
600,000 pounds. That's not all that much. 600,000 pounds of Pesach food, Pesach. After it's over?
Why?
All right, whatever. Okay, whatever it is.
So let me ask you a question, just as Raevsky
is here, yeah.
Yeah, I just want to ask a question. Is halacha of the tone that you give them, do you have to trade it first, or you can give it to them not kosher made?
I think you have to trade it.
But not trade it?
Not trade it.
So then you could give it to them and then say, because what coin is going to know how to trade for it?
They'll hire mashkichim, they'll stay in people.
Oh, so he's charging for it. Charge the coin.
Maybe that's the answer.
That's the hardest. That's very difficult.
Maybe that's the answer.
If you just slice out the main, it looks like a piece of dog meat if you don't do it right.
You have to trade it. It has to be trade. Yeah, so you need skilled labor. So the cost of trading it, it counteracts their loss. If you would give them a raw tongue, I told you in Glama it costs $100. The reason why it costs $100 is because in Glama it's been kashered. It's been trebered, it's been salted, it's been processed. Okay, come, if you want your tongue, come to the slaughterhouse and we'll give it to you. It's then they won't want to take it. What are they going to do with it? Because they're going to have to first go kasher. Don't worry, they'll unionize. They'll organize, They'll come with a big truck, pick them all up, have their own kashrus organization.
And the cava is even worse. The cava is even more difficult.
It's not worth anything today. Today the cava goes into the guard. They give it to them.
They sell it. You could buy it, but you see what it is? The actual meat itself costs next to nothing. But after you trade for it, it goes up in price for like 1,000%.
All right, it's a product. I hear.
It's a very delicate process.
I remember this story years ago. There was no, I don't know, Rebelski, I heard they were just basically, they heard him out and nothing came of it. It was just business as usual. There's no resolution. The basic idea is, the basic header is the Kohanim are Moichel. They're Moichel, as Rabbi Mayevsky said, it's just too complicated. It will cause the price. The whole system is not set up for this. It will disturb the system in such a way that will ruin everything. And there's no interest in shaking things up. Therefore, the assumption is the Kohanim are Moichel. In Yerushalayim, they have an actual shtar. They bring down Kohanim, they give them money, and they actually sign a shtar. I don't know how that works, because who says those Kohanim represent the whole Klal Yisrael? I don't know how this works. Fine. That's not our main point. The main point over here is, why are there no mitzoyrohim today? If you have a dermatologist, he sees a guy walks into his office, he has a white, bright spot, and there are two white or yellow hairs in the center. He should call the kohen next door and say, listen, we got a customer here for you. Come over. It's a mitzvah. What? What's smicha? There's no smicha for this. So Meir now is coming to Mechavim to the next solution. We're not bekeem in the colors. There are different colors of white. It's hard enough when it comes to Dam Nida. Dam Nida, people are Shaila Marois. So there's so many different opinions when it comes to the color of the Marois. You go to the Chassidish Rabbanim, Litvish Rabbanim, the Marois. The same way there are Marois of red for Dam. There are Marois of white for Tsaras. Nobody today knows anything. You see a white spot, you don't know what you're looking at. It doesn't mean anything. There are many shades of white, so therefore the whole thing goes out the door. Next reason, this is also very interesting, is because what happens if there's Takama Mitzvah? It's not fear. This is the basis, it's a very powerful principle. You can't make a person Tame as a Mitzvah unless you give him an opportunity to become Tohar. Okay, this is a very basic, this itself is worth the price of admission, this principle. You can, even if you will tell me that today, white is white. Who cares what shade of white it is? You see a white spot, a dermatologist sees it all, right? He sees enough, so he'll tell you this is good enough. So the kohen, he'll tell the kohen, just say Tameh. It's not fear. It's not fear, and this is a big rule. You cannot set up a person for failure. They always talk about this in the world of chinuch. Don't set up children to fail. Don't create a structure where a student has no chance of achieving success. That's a crime. You don't set up people to fail. So what are you going to do now? You're going to tell the kohen, come, listen, I'm a dermatologist. I'm the world-renowned dermatologist. I've seen every single thing you can possibly see. And there has to be tsaras. And I can tell you from all the different things I see, this is for sure tsaras. So come, a mitzvah d'oraisa. L'shem yichud, kodesh b'richu, come.
You have to ask the kohen also. You can't just be...
No, the kohen, the Gemara says, the kohen can be an amoretz.
Yeah, but he has to be asked by the person, do I have...
No, he doesn't.
The client walks in the street and he says, you have to rouse?
Yeah, he can do that. Yeah, he doesn't have to be asked.
Empty your house.
He doesn't have to be asked. I don't think he has to be asked. I hear what you're saying.
It doesn't apply in Chutz Laaretz, right?
It does apply in Chutz Laaretz. Tsaras applies the whole world.
Then you can't have Kapar in Chutz Laaretz.
You can have Kapar. You come to the base. Oh, let's explain. So here's the problem. You don't need Kapar. A Mitzvah in this week's parashah, Tazria Mitzvah, this is a Mitzvah, it's a very long kapar process. There's a two-step process. When there's a Mitzvah, once a person is declared a Mitzvah, he's not allowed to be with his wife. He's not allowed to wear tefillin. He's not allowed to enter into Yerushalayim. He has to be in isolation, bidud. No one's paying the bill. The state of Israel is not going to pay your hotel bill for bidud. You have to be in, you really have a miserable life. Now, so what do you do when it's all over? The Kohen comes back, he gives a look and says, you healed, tahar. What does he do now? There's a two-step process. He has to bring two birds, and he has to bring in eitz erez, and a shni toilas, and mayim chayim. And he has to dip, slaughter one bird. He dips the living bird. You take the living bird, you tie it up to a piece of wood with a shni toilas, and you dip it into a bucket of mayim chayim that has mixed in it the blood of the dead bird. And then you sprinkle upon him. You sprinkle this upon him. And then you send the living bird out. After you finish that procedure, this fellow can now resume a regular life. But there's also one thing one very important thing before he does that. Before you do that process, he has to shave every hair on his body. The pubic hairs, the beard, the hair, armpit, every hair on his body has to come off with a razor before they do the procedure of slaughtering the bird.
Pay us also.
Everything has to be done. Okay, after that's done, he has to wait 8 days, and then he brings korbanos. The korbanos we don't care about today. That's not an issue, because there are a million korbanos. We don't bring korbanos today. So the fact that today you cannot bring the korbanos is irrelevant. But the fact is, he's not allowed to be with his wife. He's not allowed to wear tefillin. He's not allowed to enter into Yerushalayim. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, Yerushalayim, until he goes through, the Kohen comes to his house, says Yetohar. He has to then shave all the hair on his body and go through this process. That must be done. And then there are korbanos. The korbanos are irrelevant today because it says kapara. Kapara we don't have anyway. There's no kapara. But the other thing can be done today. It can be done. There's no reason why Bizman Hazeh, even in America, you can't do the other part. A Kohen comes to the hotel. You're in bidud. Well, there's no bidud today because we live, there's no walled cities. But theoretically, let's say you don't go to a walled city. You can stay at home. You don't have to go into quarantine, but you still can't wear tefillin, and you can't be in contact with people. I'm not sure what that means exactly. You can't wear tefillin. You can't be with his wife, and he can't go into Yerushalayim even bizman hazeh. So why don't we bizman hazeh have a coin, declare him tameh, and then declare him tar, and then go through this process? That can be done. So the answer is you can't. You can't do this process. I'll explain to you in a moment why not. Because you can't do this process, you have no right to declare him tameh. You can't set up a person for suffering when there's no way out. So even though maybe you're right, Krihanim Yuchasim, that's very weak. The color, whoever said this requires such expertise in color and white, whoever said? You'll make it, you want, it's a nice argument, but if you really want to do a mitzvah, good enough. If it looks white, it's white. So who says? So maybe you'll push aside all of these arguments and we'll declare a person tameh, but wait a minute. You can't do that because there's no way out. Because in order for him to come out of his isolation, he needs to be able to go do this process. He needs the Kohen to come back and say he's tar. He needs to go shave off all of his hair. He needs to go take the living bird, the dead bird, v'chulu v'chulu. Why can't you do that? So here's the answer. It's very interesting. One of the ingredients that you need, this you never heard before, this part. Let me give you some background. Why don't we do avodah bizman hazeh, Karban Pesach? There's a whole big... One of the things they're going to throw around today, there's no tcheles. Big day kuhuna needs tcheles. The gartel, the avnet had tcheles. There's no tcheles. What do you mean? Is the murex? We don't know it's the tcheles. Oh, everyone loves that answer. Good cop out. No answer. No tcheles. guess what? If there's no tcheles, there is certainly no sheni toilo'as. One of the elements you need in order to be metar the mitzvah is to take the living bird and tie an eitz erez, a piece of cedar wood, to its leg with a cord called a sheni toilo'as. Can anyone define what exactly is a shni toilo'as? We learned in the afternoon, in the evening, in one of the parashas, we learned the Targum, Rashi Targum, we went through a whole thing. What exactly is a shni? There's only 100 perushim. Is what is a shni toilo'as? Is it a worm? Is it an herb? Is it a dye? Is it this? Is it that? No one knows. There's only 100 perushim. What color is it? So we assume it's red, scarlet. Even that's not so simple. It's red. What shade red is it? Basically, if you think that we don't know what tcheles is, we certainly don't have a clue what shni toilo'as is.
Three stages. Suffolk if it's white.
Coin. The coin is a coin. Well, you don't need tcheles. You don't need tcheles for you don't need tcheles. You don't need does the kohen need to be wearing? You're amazing. Another big dilemma. Does the kohen need to be wearing his big day kahuna when he declares the mitzora tame? That's a big dilemma. The Beis Yitzchak. The Beis Yitzchak has his big tshuva. I think his maskan is you don't. That would make it easy for us. If he needed to wear the Bidei Kahuna, then you got another problem because we don't have Bidei Kahuna table. Let's assume you don't. So the rule is, it's like a Musa Haskell. You can't make a person Tomei and put him in isolation if there's no way to get him out. That's not fair. You can't do that. It's not correct. You got to give a person a chance. So why, Tacha, can't we do the process of being Matar the person? Because here's the only thing. If we don't know what tcheles is, we certainly do not have a tradition as what the shni toilo'as is. Another thing all the Paiskim say is that it's one thing to allow a kohen to get up and duchen and say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech, Olam, say Hashem's name on duchening. But if we're going to do this process based on the kohen, you know what we're telling this person to do? We're telling him to violate numerous averos by shaving his beard with a razor. There are 5 loisases. More. There's the beard is 5. The payas are another 2. That's 7. The payas is another 2. So we're telling a person, we want you to shave off the payas harosh and the payas hazokon. Be over on potentially 7 loisases, because this guy thinks he's a kohen miyuchas.
And he thinks it's one.
He thinks it's one thing if he thinks he's a kohen miyuchas and is willing to get up by the duchan and make a bracha b'shem malchus and duchan. Good for you. You want to do that's your problem. You want to get up there on the stage and say Baruch Atah Hashem Elokim Melech Olam Asher Kedushanu B'mitzvot Tzivanu Levorech Es Amo Yishol B'Yava. Good, you want to do it, I'll sit here and accept the blessing. Manavshach, if you're a kohen, you're a kohen, you're not a kohen. It's no sweat off my back. You want to go make a bracha on Aliyah? B'di'evet, big deal. So you give a kohen, so you show you're an imposter, so what, it doesn't really matter. But you're telling me I should trust you? I should trust you? If you think you know how to fly a plane, good for you. You go fly a plane. I'm not going to be a passenger on your plane. I'm not going to be a passenger. You're telling me to violate 7 loisases because you think you're hot stuff. So therefore, we don't do that today. And what else? Don't we do? Those are the 2 reasons. Those are the 2 reasons. So therefore, b'meila, since we can't follow through with releasing the person from tsaras, it's a mishagas to go to make a person tamei in such a way where there's no release from his captivity. So therefore, there's no tzaras. We don't make anyone. Now, what's very fascinating is Shulchan Aruch is written for Bizman Hazeh. The Beis Yosef wrote the Dalit Chelkei Shulchan Aruch. Every single thing in Shulchan Aruch applies Bizman Hazeh. He did not write about Korbanos. He did not write about all the laws of Truma and Meiser that don't apply Bizman Hazeh, at least the Raisa. Everything in Shulchan Aruch is for Golos. You want to learn about the Mashiach? Learn the Rambam. Learn the Rambam. Take out the Yonah Chazok and go through the Rambam. You'll have the Kol HaTorah Kula. But in the Beis Yosef, the Mechaber, and the Ramah, we only deal with things that are relevant to Zman Hazeh. Yet, it's shocking that the Beis Yosef says, in the laws of Tefillin, a Mitzorah is not allowed to wear Tefillin. Excuse me, what Mitzorah? What Mitzorah? Today, no one's a Mitzorah. No one makes someone a Mitzorah. He says, in the laws of Shiluach HaKein, he says, you're not allowed to take the eggs when the mother bird is resting there. Or the chicks. It's an Isser D'Oraisa. You want it, there's a Shulchan Aruch, it's Yeridea. It tells you how to do Shiluach HaKein. This is how to do. Even if the reason why you want to take the chicks is because you need them, to be mitaher a mitzvah. What did you just say? If this was the Rambam, okay, I understand. The Rambam is talking about Yimos HaMashiach. We're talking over here today in America. No one's taking the chicks because they want to go be mitaher a mitzvah. What is the Mechaber talking about? The Mechaber writes, a mitzvah is not allowed to enter into Yerushalayim. Who's asking you to tell me that? It seems that the Mechaber didn't go for all of the answers that we just said. The fact that the Mechaber mentions at least three places in Shulchan Aruch, relevant halachas, can't wear tefillin, also he can't be with his wife, maybe four places, he talks about all these things. And the Mechaber doesn't talk about the Mashiach, he talks about now. Obviously, the Mechaber held, like the Rambam held that it can apply Bizman Hazeh. The Rambam, it's all from the Rambam. It can apply Bizman Hazeh. It does apply Bizman Hazeh. Got to be careful. A dermatologist who sees these things, if he is a Kohen, he has to be very careful not to say to the person, your tummy. If those words come out of the mouth of a dermatologist who looks at the patient, and it looks at a white spot, it can be a big, big problem. It seems that he really holds that Bizman Hazeh, all of the excuses that we have given, that we don't have a Shni Toi Loas, and the fact that we're going to rely upon a coin for me to shave off all of my hair, that's right. It's an incredible insight. If this Kohen on Yom Tov is good enough to bless you, he's good enough to rely upon him to shave off all of your hair and be over potentially on 70 Sur Deraisa. When you rely upon someone, you rely upon him. If you claim you know how to fly a plane, I'll be your passenger. I'll put my life in your hands.
Have to do the shaving?
No, definitely not. Definitely not. The Yisrael does the shaving. He does it himself. And obviously the Mechaber held that you don't need Big Day Kahuna to go to inspect.
You could have written it just
it applies the Chutz Li'aretz. It's a fascinating. Now, this, by the way, goes against the grain of what many of what it would appear in the Rishonim, that Saras is a spiritual disease. Many of the Rishonim give you the impression, maybe because the Ramban says it, Saras is not a physical condition. It's a supernatural condition that cannot possibly exist in a time when the Shechina is not resting amongst the Jewish people. That's what they really taught us in Yeshiva Katan. In elementary school, they teach you that Saras is a supernatural type of disease. It's So Rav Shimon Schwab is a very, very beautiful, he reads it into the Pasuk, very beautifully. Rav Shimon Schwab says something like a hybrid. He says that Saras means in today's vernacular, leprosy. And he reads the Pasukim in an amazing way where he shows that the way the many Rishonim say Tsaras is a supernatural, it's a supernatural, metaphysical type of white spot which you need divine presence. But the way a person, Bizman Shabbes Hamil Choyakayim, got Tsaras, the spiritual, it didn't just happen by itself. First, he developed leprosy, a disease that is defined in the textbook, in the medical textbooks. Under a microscope, it's defined. This person has leprosy, or whatever the precise meaning of tsaras is. Whatever, I'm just saying, I think they say leprosy. Whatever, I'm sure this is the textbook, a medical textbook definition of what leprosy is. Under a microscope, person got it. You go to the doctor. Doctor gives you medicine. You're supposed to make a cheshbon hanefesh. I have a contagious disease. I need to make a cheshbon hanefesh. And if you make a cheshbon hanefesh, derech hateva, we're talking over here, 21st century. Oh, go away. They have medicines, antibiotics, they have this, they have that, whatever the doctor did. The doctors have a whole chachma behind this. They'll give you, but sometimes it doesn't go away because you didn't take it seriously. You think it's just a game. You don't take seriously, you're doing averos. So you know what happens next? Oh, you're not taking seriously my warning to you. Let me give you now the real deal. And then suddenly the tsaras, the medical textbook definition, it turns into, or it is superimposed upon it, the metaphysical tsaras. And then they call the Kohen. And when he sees this glow, this white glow that is not defined by medicine, you got the real deal now. And now we got to go do this process. Or if Shimon Schwab, he has like a Rav Chosen, everything I'm telling you now is all the assumption that tsaras is just a regular disease. It's a white spot. What is it? I don't know. Maybe it's leprosy. Person has leprosy. That's it. The Kohen says, you got a white spot. You're done. That's it. The whole process begins. And you'll get better. We'll give you medicines, this and that. Then we'll do the whole process. But your tummy, all there is from the Rishonim it's mash, it's purely a spiritual, supernatural, a metaphysical type of disease. And then there's Rav Shimon Schwab, who says that it starts out as a physical disease that we understand in this world. We know where it comes from, we know how it operates, we have medicines, but if the person, the patient, does not apply himself to make a cheshbon hanefesh, then Hashem will allow it to develop into the metaphysical type of tsaras, which the Kohen will get involved, declare him Tomei, start a process. And then what's very interesting, he reads this in the Pasuk, when he is healed from his malady, the spiritual malady, he's still not healed from the leprosy. He'll have to also sit and wait until the doctors, the Kohen says, as far as I'm concerned, you're ready to go. The spiritual element has gone away. But the doctor says, okay, but I still see there the physical. That's right. The pasuk there at the end says the Kohen will declare, and we have to read the psukim. Maybe we'll do it sometime. And then he has to allow the leprosy to heal, and then he has to go through the entire process. So elu v'elu, and it's just interesting. This topic, at least, it does touch upon many other areas in halach, like the shnitah loss, about relying upon another person who tells you that trust me, I'm a Kohen. How far does that trust go? Do we have Shnit Solas? Do we have Koyim Yuchasim? And
aren't the Rapoport's Yuchasim?
Yeah.
Everyone will claim them Yuchasim. Who will Koyim is not going to claim them Yuchas? It's like you go to a yeshiva dinner. Have you ever gone to a yeshiva dinner where they did not claim we were the first yeshiva in America? I've heard my own ears. Every yeshiva in America, YU, MTJ, Tar V'Das, Chaim Berlin, all four, and that's just the four that I know of. They all claim, I'll show you in writing, they all claim they were the first yeshiva in America. All four of them. They're not embarrassed to say, how could you be the first? And there are probably another 20 yeshivas that claim they're the first. But at least these four, I've heard them all say they write. Chaim Berlin, Tar V'Das, Yeshiva University, and what was the fourth one I said? RJJ also, that's right, RJJ. Everyone claims they were the first yeshiva in America. So every coin will tell you, chutzpah, chutzpah, mekayim miyuchas. What's the shayla? Of course mekayim miyuchas. Okay, we'll stop over here. Thank you for coming, Rabbi Yisrael. Have a wonderful day and be well. A good chodesh, a chodesh of refuah. Ani Hashem Reifecha. This should be the month when no more corona.
There's a family in Flatbush, name is Rosenblum, who had two children, had a disease called Canavan, which is a very, they're missing an enzyme, and they deteriorated very, anyway, they gathered over $1 million, and they found the researcher.
You told me all this.
Yeah, yeah. Found the gene therapy. They had to spend another $400,000 to get the FDA to approve it. And they had to import the medicine, was made under
$1 million.
And they had a hospital in Dayton, Ohio, which was willing to do the